Murder Unprompted, a Charles Parris mystery starring Bill Nighy.
Too hard.
No, harder. After an excruciating night on a hotel couch, I woke up like a human paperclip.
You could have shared the full poster with me.
We were in Somerset to try and find my friend Alex.
Shall I carry on with the shoulders?
A bit lower. Shall I carry on with the shoulders?
Very amusing.
Ow! Ow!
I needed to prove that Alex hadn't shot and killed Michael Banks in front of a West End audience.
I'm going to kneel on your back.
Is that a good idea?
Trust me, I saw it on Holby. This might hurt.
An hour later, fueled on carbs and cholesterol, we wound through the narrow country lanes looking for the derelict hovel where I hoped to find Alex.
In 200 yards, turn right.
Ignore her and take the next left.
Are you sure?
Trust me, Francis.
In 100 yards, turn right.
She seems to know what she's talking about.
I've got the map and she knows nothing.
Such a Luddite.
She is not even a she. It's a computer in drag and it's wrong.
Turn right.
Turn left.
If you say so. I know it's hard to imagine, but Mrs. Satnav may just know something you don't.
Sure, if you want to get there via Krakow.
Are you sure this is actually a road?
It's a shortcut on the map which will save us going to...
Watch out!
Okay, so the map doesn't show 10-ton hay lorries bearing down on us, but neither does Mrs. Smartass. You'd better reverse.
Yes, I know.
Mind the hedge!
I know how to reverse, thank you!
Slow down or we're going to end up in a... ditch.
At the next junction, do a U-turn.
Oh, shut up!
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I managed to flag down a local who attached a tow rope and showed us what 4x4s do when they're not ferrying Corinth and Eustasia to ballet class up Highgate Hill. Then the rain started. How serious do you think Juliet is about miles? Francis and I had been brought closer together by a mutual dislike of our daughter's objectionable new boyfriend.
She's besotted.
But is it love?
Who knows?
I'm terrified she'll make a decision she'll live to regret.
Like we did, you mean?
To quote that gurgling old French bird, je ne regrette rien.
Lucky old you.
Was being married to me so irredeemably bad?
There were times when it was blissfully happy, but they just made the other times all the more painful, till eventually the pain outweighed the pleasure.
I was an idiot.
Yes, you were.
Why have we never got divorced?
Inertia?
Well, I'd hope there was more to it than that.
You are a weird man. Do you know that, Charles?
What do you mean, weird?
Last night, that's what I mean. After all your attempts to get me back into bed with you, I finally weakened and made a complete fool of myself.
It wasn't you, it was me.
Oh, cliché.
Well, at the risk of using another, I wanted it to be special.
What, like a waterbed full of piranhas? We had a four-poster, how special do you need it?
I wanted a sense of occasion, not a drunken fumble.
Since when?
Go on, twist the knife.
Facts is facts, kiddo. You made your bed a long time ago and then you went and slept in other people's.
If it's any... consolation. I only ever loved you.
It's not. And you had a funny way of showing it.
I was born weak.
Probably why Juliet's gone for such a chest-beating, silver-back control freak.
Oh, God, it's all my fault.
Not all. She's the mistress of her own mistakes.
Can't we stop her making this one? I don't trust Miles.
Nor do I, but if we say anything, she'll just dig her heels in. If I could protect her from getting hurt, I'd do almost anything. And believe me, if Miles ever mistreats her, I'll murder him.
There's been enough murdering lately.
I mean it. My child is the one thing, the only thing I could imagine killing for. Any mother would.
Frances was the most stable woman I knew, but for one flickering moment I saw another side. The side which would murder to protect her young. I wouldn't want you as an enemy.
Remember that next time you...
Stop!
Oh!
I think this is it. Oh, bugger.
Oh, I don't fancy taking the car down there. We better go on foot.
We?
You don't think I've driven you all this way just to sit in the car listening to Woman's Hour?
Well, they're doing a feature on men being crap at multitasking.
How do you know?
They always are. If you want something to read, I've got Alex's spiritual review in my pocket. It's the Journal of Alternative Living Incorporating Paganism Today.
You can keep it in your pocket.
There's gratitude.
So we're going to stand around in the rain all day?
Listen, Francis, if Alex is there, I don't know what state he'll be in. He may still have a gun.
In that case, you should call the police.
Well, then they'll turn up with marksmen and it'll be goodnight, Alex, before we hear his side of the story. I've also got a nagging feeling he might have, you know, done himself in, and if he has, I'd rather it was me that found him and not you.
You're way out of your depth, Charles.
What's new?
The rain was coming down in stair rods as I slipped and slithered along the muddy lane in my loafers, a caricature townie mincing through a hostile landscape. Hello.
Morning, Charles. Is it a good time?
There was something surreal about the sound of my agent's urban voice in the middle of remote countryside.
Hello, Morris.
I've tried phoning a few times, but kept getting your voicemail.
I think the signal's a bit iffy out here.
And where?
I'm in Somerset.
What the hell are you doing in Somerset?
Morris was a man who needed GPS, Sherpas and Kendall Mint Cake to get him out of Soho.
You do know you've got a show this evening.
Has something come in?
Like what?
Well, I was thinking along the lines of work, you know, film, telly, a voice job.
No, nothing like that.
Surprise, surprise.
We're in a West End show, Charles. Don't be greedy.
I'll be in a dip in a minute, so you better tell me why you phoned.
We're just answering your call from last week.
Oh, yeah, it was about money.
Ah.
I couldn't help noticing I'm still on understudy rates.
I think you'll find it's considerably higher than that.
But not as high as you promised.
Did we not talk about this?
About what?
Well, it's a tad complicated to discuss on a long-distance phone call.
Try me.
It transpired my agent had somehow failed to spot a clause in the original contract, which resulted in me being paid marginally more than when I was understudying, but nowhere near what I should have been on.
Okay, Morris, this is the final straw. You've taken advantage of my good nature for years, but enough is enough. I think it's time I moved on. So as of next week, I'll be looking for new representatives.
All right, I'll hang up.
Don't hang up on me.
Okay.
Morris! You absolute...
Tired, wet, nettle-stung and caked in mud, I finally came to a clearing with the semi-derelict hut as described to me by Lucy.
Alex! Are you in there, Alex? If you are, can you give me a sign? Because I'm filthy, wet, tired and I'm really not in the mood to play.
I ducked behind a tree and looked down at my right side. I felt like I'd been punched, but to my relief, there was no blood. The bullet had ripped the cagoule and my suede jacket, but had been stopped by the spiritual review rolled in the pocket. I took it out. There was a hole right through an article on guardian angels.
Maybe there is something in this stuff after all. Alex, it's me, Charles.
What do you want?
To help.
Why couldn't you just leave me alone, Charles?
Well, what good would that have done?
Who told you I was here?
No one.
You shouldn't have come.
You didn't shoot Mickey Banks, did you? Listen, Alex, I'm getting pretty cold out here, so I'm going to come over there. Okay?
Alex sat slumped in an old bentwood chair, but even in the smoky gloom of the hut, I could see he was in a bad way.
I aimed to miss.
You did.
You better sit by the fire. But mind the...
God!
Beam.
Oh!
I sat and rubbed the new bruise on my head, then pulled my shirt out and had a look at my side. There was a graze so tiny it barely merited the name.
How have you been surviving?
There's plenty of food in the forest if you know where to look.
Thank God for Ray Mears.
It's surprising what you can pick up.
From the telly?
From the forest floor.
Oh.
From the look of him, I guess he'd picked up Crohn's disease. I remembered the wholesome sustenance in my pocket.
Hobnob.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I won't offer you a scotch.
Better not. I might just accept.
That's better.
You'll kill yourself with that stuff.
And you'll forgive me if I don't take advice from a man who's been grazing on moss and bracken.
Why did you come here, Charles?
I was worried about you. And I've got a weakness for puzzles.
You just stick to crosswords.
You didn't kill him, did you?
What difference does it make? Everyone thinks I did.
I don't. So, are you going to tell me what happened, or shall I tell you what I think happened?
Go ahead.
Well, I think someone knew about the gun you kept in the dressing room.
You did?
Someone else, someone with murder in mind. They waited till you were in the wings feeding Michael his lines, then took the gun, but I don't think Mickey Banks was the intended victim. I think you were. How am I doing?
I'm convinced.
Well, it all happened in a flash, but I remember Mickey flustering and staring into the wings, and then a bang, and he collapsed. I admit, even I thought you'd done it till Georgina Banks told me that Mickey never swore.
Proper old school gent, Mickey was.
But just before the gun went off, he yelled, "Holy shite!" Gina said she'd never heard him say it before. I, on the other hand, had heard the phrase a great deal over the past few months, sharing a dressing room with you.
And I hear the sound of pennies dropping.
Mickey was still wired into the audio prompt.
And I was on the mic at the other end. He had dried and was looking to me for his next line.
But you didn't give it to him.
I'd heard a sound somewhere behind me and spun round to see what it was.
So, holy shite, was him repeating your response to finding yourself staring down the barrel of a gun?
Too right.
You haven't said who was holding it.
You know how dark it is in the wings. All I saw was a gloved hand pointing a gun between black drapes. I thought I was going to die, so I threw myself sideways, a gun went off and...
And the bullet which was intended for you hit Mickey on stage.
After that, it was weird. Like a dream, fast and slow motion at the same time. I looked across and saw Lucy in shock and covered in blood. Then she looked at me and I could see she thought I'd done it.
All she told me was that you appeared to be terrified.
Sure, because someone had just tried to kill me.
So you ran.
What would you do? I completely freaked. I wandered around the West End for hours trying to figure what to do, but the more I thought, the worse it seemed.
You knew the police would think you were the murderer once they found the gun with your prints on it.
Of course. The killer dropped the gun when Lucy screamed. I picked it up, panicked and ran.
I wish you hadn't.
Oh, so do I now, but by now I'd lost the plot. All fingers were pointing my way.
And providing you're off the scene, the real murderer's safe.
Well, I'm not likely to resurface. If I hand myself in, they'll charge me with murder. And anyway, someone's already tried to kill me once. Why not again? One way and another, I'm stuffed.
Unless...
What?
If I could force a confession from the real murderer...
From which I gather you know who it is.
When I got back to the car, Francis was on the phone.
No, no, of course not, darling. It's nothing like that. Oh, here's your father. It's Juliet.
Say hello.
He says... What happened to my cuckoo?
Yeah, sorry about that. Alex shot at me.
Charles!
It's just a flesh wound.
He says it's a flesh wound.
It's hardly even that.
Shh! Don't worry, he looks okay. Well, okay for your father.
Cheers.
Honestly, darling, we didn't leave because of Miles.
Yes, we did.
No, he wasn't at all rude.
Yes, he was.
Shut up, Charles. Well, we've all got our funny little ways.
Some funnier than others.
Okay, love, looking forward to it. Bye. Juliet wanted to know if we left in a hurry because of something Miles said.
The very idea.
She sounded upset. I get the feeling she had words with him.
Well, if she gets stuck, I can give her a few.
Seriously, Charles, I think she's been crying.
Oh, hell.
And you'd better get to a hospital.
It's Alex who needs the hospital, but not till I've sorted out one or two things. And while I do...
I hear a favour coming on.
I need you to take him some stuff. Food, drink, a change of clothes. Don't worry, he's expecting you. Ah!
You better let me look at this wound of yours.
No, no, don't worry about me.
Come on, stop being a baby.
Really, Francis, I'm... Well... Ah... Actually, I think I will have a nip of scotch. I'm really sorry about last night.
Forget it.
I can't. I don't want us to have any more regrets, which is why... I took another swig of scotch for Dutch courage. Marry me, Francis.
We're married already.
Marry me again.
What for?
I'll buy you a ring.
I've already got a ring.
I'll buy you another one, an eternity ring. Come on, let's renew our vows.
That's very sweet of you, Charles.
We were up for it last night.
That was sex, or would have been.
This is a lifetime's commitment, or from past experience, a lifetime on my part, 6 months on yours.
I've changed. I've grown up.
About time.
Last night, lying in the dark with you a few feet away, I realised that's all I want. It's all I need. Everything else is just icing.
Is this another unsubtle way of persuading me not to move house?
Come on, Francis. Why do you think I tried to stop you selling up?
Because I let you house it, and once you got your feet under the table, you realise what a cushy number you were on to.
So cynical.
If I am, you made me so.
That house is the last link in the chain that holds us together.
Didn't I hear you use that metaphor in an afternoon play?
Maybe, but the image still holds.
This is moral blackmail.
In a good cause.
The cause being?
Love.
What about honesty?
Honesty, absolutely.
And unconditional lust. Trust.
You said lust.
A slip of the tongue.
It's a very Freudian slip.
I meant to say trust.
OK, that I need to earn. But in my defence, there is nothing I want more than to spend what time I've got left. Time. What's the time? Shit, I've got to get back to town.
Well, what about Alex?
Well, just drop me at the nearest station, then bring the stuff back to him.
You don't ask much, do you, Charles?
And think about my proposal.
Put your seatbelt on.
We made the station in good time, and despite being dressed in torn, muddy, wet clothes, I was feeling confident that I'd be back in London with time to spare. I should have realised I was being lulled into a false sense of security.
Due to engineering work on the line, passengers may experience slight delay.
Oh, bloody hell.
Eccentrica wishes to apologise to customers for any inconvenience this may cause.
And if we apologise, we don't have to pay any compensation!
Oh, God, I'm turning into a man who shouts on railway platforms. What sandwiches have you got?
Sandwiches all gone.
Oh, rolls?
No rolls.
Your menu says an extensive range of sandwiches, rolls, filled baguettes, ciabatta and panini.
All gone.
But that's not very extensive then, is it? I mean, we've only just left Taunton. What was there, a massive run on ciabatta? Panic buying of panini?
Must have been.
500 baguette-crazed passengers swarmed through the train like starving locusts when you weren't looking.
Well, you should have got on before Taunton.
Of course. Stupid of me to start my journey where I was.
You want a customer feedback form? Eccentrica welcomes your comments on our service.
Not mine, they don't. Then, somewhere outside Reading, Eccentrica's slight delays grew into severe delays, and by the time we pulled into Paddington, the clock was ticking. I don't know how I did it, but I hit the dressing room with 5 minutes to spare, and as the house lights dimmed, found myself in the wings next to Lucy.
Oh, bloody hell, Charles, you're cutting it a bit fine.
Did anyone notice?
I think Paula did.
Bucker!
Shh! Oh. What's that lump on your head?
There's nothing. Listen, I found Alex.
Oh, thank God, how is he?
He'll be okay.
When can I see him?
I'll tell you later.
But I want to see him too. Please keep it down.
Oh, sorry.
I was running on adrenaline for the first half and thought I was doing pretty well. But at the interval, Mal, our scowling radical author, was waiting outside my dressing room, shoulders hunched like a vulture on Prozac.
What's going on out there, Charles?
What?
You were all over the place.
Was I?
Come on, man. You missed great chunks out of the script.
Lucy wandered a couple of times, so I had to do something to get us back on track.
Yeah, she was pretty crap too.
Cut us some slack tonight, will you?
Slack's about right. I expected this sort of thing from Alex, but I thought you had more respect for the text.
I'm not going to badmouth a colleague when he's not here to defend himself.
So much for the great professional.
Now, give me a break, will you, Mal?
Not you, Alex.
To qualified first aider, please go to Miss Decker's dressing room immediately.
Bloody hell, what now?
By the time I got to Lucy's dressing room, she was stretched out on her bed, looking pale and limp, while her mother held a cold, damp flannel to her head.
What happened?
I felt a bit woozy coming off stage. Next thing, I was flat on my back with people leaning over me.
Here, sip some water.
The convalescent atmosphere was shattered as our producer Paula flew into the room like Gene Hackman, putting the crew on DEFCON 2.
Okay, I've got front of house alerted, understudy on standby, and stage management waiting for a situation report. So, shall I get a doctor or what?
Actually, I'm feeling a lot better. Give me a few minutes and I'll be fine.
Oh, do you think? That'll be great.
She doesn't look fine.
Are you medically trained?
No.
Then butt out!
Just thinking about your insurance.
Maybe you should let your understudy go on tonight. Damage limitation and whatever.
Good call, Captain.
I'd better give the team a situation assessment. Oh, get well soon, Lucy.
I'll call a taxi to take you home.
Please don't fuss.
You'll be fine by tomorrow night. I've known lots of actresses work right through to the last minute.
Flickering glances shot between mother and daughter.
You must be very pleased with yourself, Charles.
I'm no obstetrician, but it was hardly rocket science. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks. Yes, we'll keep it to yourself for now. Paula will only get her knickers in a twist over contracts and insurance.
What about Alex?
Oh, I don't think he's likely to show his face again. Thank goodness.
Mum.
Don't you think the father has a right to know he's a father? I'm assuming he is.
Of course he is.
His input was a few cc's of DNA.
Oh, please.
Anyway, the last thing a child needs is a murderer for a parent. Let's hope it's not genetic.
Alex is no murderer.
How do you know?
I've been to see him.
When? Where?
He still loves you, Lucy.
Did he say that?
Oh, for God's sake.
I know what he's done, but I can't help loving him.
You don't need him. We can manage perfectly well.
That's not what you said when I told you.
I reacted badly at first. I didn't want history repeating itself.
So that's why you hated Alex so much. He wasn't stealing your daughter. He was stifling her career.
I always promised myself I'd never let Lucy ruin her chances for one stupid mistake.
We all make mistakes.
Well, this one is not going to destroy a life. At the end of the run, she can take a few months off, then relaunch herself while I deal with the childcare.
And Alex, like it or not, he's got rights.
They're not going to do him much good in prison.
He's not going to prison.
He killed Michael Banks.
But he didn't, did he?
Of course he did. Everyone knows he did.
No, everyone thinks he did, and you made sure it stayed that way.
What's he talking about?
Well, will you tell her, or shall I?
Tell me what?
Your generation have no idea how lucky you are. We thought we could have it all, but you can. Then just when everything's coming together, you go and get yourself pregnant.
When did you tell her, Lucy?
On opening night.
The night Mickey was shot. I could see the synapses firing as Lucy's brain made connections and the truth began to take shape.
I don't believe it.
It was an accident. I didn't mean to kill Mickey.
That's okay then, that's fine. You just meant to kill the father of my child.
The confused logic of Val's protest hit home. Unable to respond, she lowered her eyes.
A few days ago, I felt so low I almost decided to get rid of the baby. But I didn't. And now, nothing is going to stop me from having it and from getting Alex back.
Stupid little girl.
I'm not your little girl anymore.
Maybe you should have got rid of the baby. I kept you and ended up ironing shirts for actors.
Alex may have his problems, but at least he's not a murderer. Pass me the phone, Charles.
You've got no proof I did anything.
No, we'll see.
All the evidence points to Alex. It's your word against mine.
And mine.
Oh, and that's going to count for a lot.
No. But this might. I pulled a little mic out of my jacket pocket. The same mic Alex used to feed lines to Mickey Banks over the audio prompt. Only this time, the other end was in the ear of a police officer at the stage door. Val stared at Lucy with barely concealed disdain.
I sacrificed everything for you, and you're throwing it all away for what? Cozy family life in the suburbs, coffee mornings with other young mums, marriage to a pathetic loser. I'd rather be locked up in Holloway.
Val never did get to play Lady Mac or belt out a hard-bitten Sondheim showstopper, but at least she'd had her big speech and played her last scene.
I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else.
And I don't what? Uh-huh.
I've had an offer on the house.
Oh, great.
But now there's so much to do, I don't know where to start.
Well, I'd better pack my bags.
Oh, don't be like
that. I'm just being realistic.
Well, I'm hardly going to kick you out on the street.
Just gently nudge.
Please, don't do this.
What?
Try to make me feel guilty when I've got absolutely nothing to feel guilty about.
Of course you haven't.
Ah! What?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just a little jab in the old bullet wound.
I thought it was just a graze.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that if it was your graze. Anyway, it just likes to remind me it's still there from time to time. Don't worry about it.
I'll try not to. Oh. Right, I better get on to the removal men.
I suppose now is not the time to ask if you've considered my proposal.
Believe it or not, I have been giving it quite a lot of thought.
And have you made any decisions?
Yes, I have.
Am I allowed to know?
Okay, this is the way I see it. Are you expecting anyone?
No.
Well, don't let me forget what I was saying.
Damn. 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 Damn.
Oh, hello, darling.
bloody cold callers.
Look who's here.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Whoa.
Juliet.
What is it?
It's Miles. We've split up.
What did I say, Francis? I knew he was
Charles,
no...
We kept disagreeing over lots of little things, but they weren't important. And I put it down to his competitive nature.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Then last night I saw some files on his computer and I just felt sick.
What, you mean...
Poor girl.
Illegal stuff.
You should tell the police.
Not Paul. Then shares.
Shares? As in stocks and shares?
He's got shares in tobacco.
I couldn't take the moral high ground on that one.
And he's on the board of a brewery.
Or that one.
He's even involved in arms trading.
That's nothing to do with me.
She didn't say it was.
Oh. I said, not only are you trading in weaponry, you're poisoning people in the third world, and you're killing my own father.
I wasn't his biggest fan, but I wouldn't go quite that far.
Don't defend him, Dad. He's been investing in completely unethical businesses. I mean, like everything I've campaigned against for years. I couldn't believe my eyes. So we had a terrible row and I walked out.
Oh, maybe you'll be able to patch things up.
Francis.
No, it's gone too far.
You never know.
Things were said that can never be unsaid. I've realised we're completely incompatible. And now I haven't got anywhere to live.
Well, no. Well, we're hardly going to kick you out in the streets, are we, Francis?
No, of course not.
You'll need time to get yourself sorted out, won't you?
Absolutely.
It's not quite as simple as that.
How do you mean?
I'm pregnant.
Bloody hell!
Charles!
How could I have spotted it with Lucy, yet missed it with my own daughter?
I'm just going to make a quick call.
Who to?
The estate agent.
Make yourself at home, Juliet. I'll be back in a sec.
Francis.
What?
Well, you still haven't told me your answer.
Oh, not now, Charles. There's far too much to do.
2 weeks later, the show closed and Paula filed for bankruptcy. Lucy and Alex started planning a natural birth using meditation and Tibetan herbal pain control. And Mal, who vowed never to prostitute his theatrical vision, started work on Hollyoaks. I never did get an answer out of Francis, but the three of us settled back into a sort of family life. The prospect of becoming a grandpa took some getting used to, but I suppose we all have to grow up sometime, don't we?
In Murder Unprompted by Simon Brett, Charles Paris was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, Morris by John Glover, Alex by Danny Webb, Lucy by Jemima Roper, Val by Liza Sadovy, Paula by Rachel Bavage, and Juliet by Tilly Gaunt. Murder Unprompted was dramatised by Jeremy Front and directed by Sally Evans.